Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Welcome to Hope for Today. We're so glad you joined us. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry. Each week, our Bible teaching broadcasts circle the globe in English and 22 other major languages. Thousands tune in each week for spiritual encouragement and blessing. But radio ministry is just one part of what we do here at Heralds of Hope. We also distribute Bibles and literature, and our newest publication is the Hope Herald. It's a study guide designed to complement the teaching you'll hear on this broadcast. We would be happy to send you a copy of this study guide if you just write to us and ask for it. Stay tuned, and I will give you the contact information at the end of this program. During today's lesson, we will take a closer look at prayer from John 14. In this discussion, he tells us our goal in prayer is God's glory. In other words, we want to glorify God through our prayers. This can be one of the phrases we hear so often. We don't hear it anymore. It becomes cliche and casual. This is not good. God's glory is very motivating and gives us great purpose. When God's people are motivated and doing what they do to bring Him glory, good things happen. This is the highest motivation we can have. Good things will happen when this is our motive, to see God glorified. In Scripture, we see many people motivated by God's glory. For example, David, as a young man, would not allow Goliath to insult the armies of the living God. He declared he would defeat Goliath so that the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. The Philistines were not giving God the glory he deserved. This motivated David, and he was filled with courage. Another example is Solomon's prayer during the dedication of the new temple. Solomon prayed for God to hear from heaven and act, so that all the peoples of the earth would know your name and fear you. Solomon understood the glory of all people belongs to God. He deserves it. Are we motivated by God's glory? Here's another example of how being motivated by God's glory can affect our actions. It's the story of Hezekiah and King Sennacherib. The Assyrians were destroying many people and many lands. They were coming for Jerusalem and King Hezekiah next. Hezekiah begged God to deliver them so all the earth would know that He alone is God. Our God is not wood or stone made by us. He is the living God. God heard Hezekiah's prayer and responded in a mighty way. In one night, 185,000 Assyrians were destroyed by the angel of God. God cares about His glory and is working to bring more glory to Himself. He alone is worthy. There are many more examples from Scripture of men and women doing great things because they were motivated by God's glory. Jesus Himself prayed, "Glorify Thy Son, that Your Son may glorify You." His life was centered on bringing God glory. In the same way, you and I must also live our lives for God's glory. When He is not glorified, we should be a little irritated like David was and fight for His glory. Wherever we are, we attempt to maximize our resources so more people can come to Him and bring Him the glory He deserves. Being motivated by God's glory is all through Scripture. And we also want to be people who increase that glory. In our prayer life is one of the ways we can make this happen. Here is Brother J. Mark to tell us more about the possibilities in prayer.
Have you ever wished you could make contact with God? Have you ever felt deserted by all your friends? And have you ever wished for help, and it seemed that there was no one who could or would come to help you? King David knew what it was like to be in need of help. One time, he wrote these words, "The sorrows of death surrounded me, and the pains of Sheol got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." That's Psalm 116, 3 and 4. And you know something? David found help. Do you know that help for you is as close as a prayer? All of us have times of distress and trouble in our lives, and we often need help. But where we go for help is very, very important. Jesus understands what our needs are. The disciples were expressing sorrow because Jesus had told them that he was going away. They were quite distressed because they were sure they were going to lose him. Never again would they be able to make contact with him, at least that's what they thought. But they were wrong because Jesus showed them a new way. It was the way of prayer. In this way, they could have immediate contact with him, and you and I can too. Listen to these brief words from Jesus from John 14 and verses 13 through 15. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments." In this text, the Lord Jesus lays down certain necessary directives by which we may reach the highest possibilities in prayer. This holds great opportunities and challenges for you and for me. First of all, Jesus said we must connect with God. Notice the invitation in verse 13. He said, "Whatever you ask." That's a large invitation. Please notice that Jesus didn't say, "Whatever you demand." No, he said, "Whatever you ask." And asking comes from a position of humility. This is very important if we are to reach the possibilities of prayer. The asking can be any time, it can be immediately, it can be right now, without any delay. Whatever you ask, and then we may add to that, whenever you wish to ask, any time. Now notice the connection as Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name." My name, your name, doesn't really count very much in heaven. Our names are not worth much. We are sinners. We need first of all to come to the Savior, and then we can ask in his name. There is no name to ask in except his name. Be very sure that you catch that in the words of Jesus. There is no other route. We have no other name that we can use in prayer to get through to God. So Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name." It makes no difference how holy anyone else may have been. No one's name can take the place of Jesus' name in this directive of connecting with God. So there is an object or goal in making contact with God. It is God's glory. Jesus said he would answer the prayer in his name. Why? That the Father may be glorified. So the glory of God is the object of prayer. When you and I connect with God and ask for things, we need to be sure that we are praying for his glory. I learned once of a lovely home high in the mountains of Europe where needy people could find help. This home was built especially to care for missionaries and Christian workers. Some of them had become broken in spirit, and some were broken in body. The testimony reported many wonderful answers to prayer because they prayed for the glory of God. When they prayed for the healing of a broken spirit or a broken body, they would simply ask the Lord to do what would bring the most glory to him. And many of those people were wonderfully healed. Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So connect with God, my friend, for your possibilities in prayer. And then the second directive Jesus gave for our prayers is accept the limit. There's a restriction in verse 14. He said, "If you ask anything in my name." And that same phrase is in verse 13 too. Let's think about that again. In my name. When Jesus prayed to God before his crucifixion, he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." I wonder whether this phrase, "in my name," may not reflect something of that same attitude. When we ask the Father according to our needs, we must do so in the name of Jesus. That means we will submit ourselves to whatever He knows is best. I learned when I studied verse 14 that there's a condition attached to the asking. If you shall ask anything. And our dependence on the Lord is expressed in that way. We don't order God around. We don't issue commands. We don't tell Him what to do. No, we make requests. We ask the Lord for things in His name. And then we get answers to our prayers. This directive of accepting the limit means that in order to do business with God, in the name of Jesus, our requests must be in harmony with His will. So be sure you understand this directive, accept the limit. And then there's a final directive. Jesus also said we must reflect His love. Again, there's a condition expressed, if you love me. The word love used in verse 15 is the word for divine love. It's called in the Greek language agape. It's a love that doesn't really require a response in order to be given. The expression of this kind of love, agape love, simply pours itself out for the benefit of the one who is being loved. So Jesus is here really saying, if you keep on loving me, as though this act was already in progress, the evidence of that love will be keeping His commandments. We could say it is love in action, the action of obedience. Obedience to the commandments of Jesus expresses our love, it reflects His love, and it relates to prayer. If we follow these directives carefully, they will bring us great possibilities in prayer. First, connect with God. Second, accept the limit. And third, reflect Jesus' love. You and I both need the help of meaningful prayer. Here are great possibilities for us in personal prayer. What does prayer mean to you? I challenge you to operate on these directives so you will achieve real possibilities in your personal prayer life.
My friend, was this teaching helpful? If you'd like a copy, either in print or a digital file, just contact us and ask for it by title, or log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org. The quickest way for you to connect with us is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or a digital file of this teaching. We'd be happy to send one to you. And when you contact us, you can request our Bible study guide, Hope Herald. It follows these radio programs and will help you learn more about what we're studying from John's Gospel. So ask for your free copy of the Hope Herald today. Here's the contact information one more time. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org, or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching. It's available in print or a digital file, and you can also request a free copy of our newest publication, The Hope Herald. It will help you gain more value from our study in John. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, heraldsofhope.org. Now, I urge you to tune in next week as Pastor J. Mark continues our study from John's Gospel. You won't want to miss it. And until then, keep looking to Jesus. He's our hope for today and for every day.